College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All guests appear on the fan hotline, and we got three of them as we go around the AFC North for week one of the 2025 preseason. Our first stop is in Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, and Bob Haney. Bob, joint practice fights with the Colts, say it ain't so.
Oh, it's very much so, and Nate Wiggins kind of came out of nowhere, started throwing some George Foreman uppercuts out of the blue, much to the dismay of John Harbaugh, who basically said that's the last thing they wanted. Getting chippy's one thing, maybe even a slight skirmish, but to, you know, have it like clear SummerSlam style is not what he wanted to see. And then Nate Wiggins was thrown off the practice field pretty much after that.
Okay. By the way, speaking of George Foreman, now that we've lost both of them, who do you believe? Do you believe that Hulk Hogan was originally offered the George Foreman grill, or was it always George Foreman's grill?
Oh, boy, I'm going to go with it's always George Foreman's grill, because I just bought a brand new one for $120 that actually stands up on your deck. It looks like a charcoal grill. It's pretty awesome.
Wow. Congratulations on all your success, Bob. Don't take her away.
I feel like I have 10 more questions about that setup. Either way, you'll have to send us a video. Bob, we would appreciate that. All right, so
he wouldn't appreciate.
We saw this little tidbit in one of the camp notes that Harbaugh and his coaches have come up with a new idea this offseason. All around the team facility, large screen TVs in past years would have shown on them SportsCenter and things of that nature. Now it's practice tape. Is all of this a way to try to make sure that the Ravens are not just a regular season team, but a playoff team?
Oh, I would think it's got a lot to do with it. And John Harbaugh does not like hearing this Super Bowl or bust narrative basically said on the Lounge podcast, which is a Ravens-produced show, that anyone who says it's Super Bowl or bust are people who have never won anything in their lives. And, you know, and I'll keep saying it personally on our show, Diddy and Haney, it's Super Bowl or bust. Hey, they're great in the regular season. Lamar's brilliant in the regular season, but I was reading Danny Graziano a couple of days ago, ESPN, and their playoff failures, where they are very strong not turning the ball over in the regular season. They're horrible at it in the postseason. The Buffalo loss, 3 turnovers to none in favor of the Bills. So, yeah, that's all about focus, focus, focus. Let's take next steps. Maybe get that number one seed so we're not losing in Buffalo or Arrowhead or wherever they might wind up.
How's Tyler Loop doing now in for Justin Tucker?
He was great Saturday, or Sunday rather, at M&T Bank Stadium in front of the fans. Perfect, including a 60-yard boot. And then yesterday against the Colts, he was perfect as well. 53, 54-yarder. They got rid of Hoyland last week, so he's the only kicker in camp, Tyler Loop. So everything could look great now. Had a one-winning drive in August. We'll see what happens tomorrow night against the Colts and obviously September 7th against the Bills.
Players not named Lamar Jackson, you're looking forward to seeing the most on Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts at 7 p.m.
Keaton Mitchell, running back, third year. He had a great rookie season until he blew out his knee against Jacksonville in a primetime game. He came back last year, but he wasn't himself. I mean, this is a guy that was averaging almost 8 yards a carry, had become the Ravens' top rusher.
Yeah, he ran all over us at one point, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he's got premier speed, which is now back. So he's going to get a ton of work in the preseason because obviously Derrick Henry's not going to play. So Keaton Mitchell's a guy I'm very much looking forward to. And Tez Walker, wide receiver, second year out of North Carolina.
Final one, are you going out of your way to watch Shedeur Sanders start for the Cleveland Browns Friday night?
Let's see. The Orioles are in last place. They got the A's. I might be able to squeeze in some alternative programming. So, yeah, possibly, assuming his arm's not tired anymore.
Oh. Shots from Bob Haney out the door. You don't believe that?
Oh, I'm not saying it's true or false. Oh. I just read it. And, of course, we believe everything we read, don't we?
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We're going to have to revisit that coming up here in a bit. Let's go to Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. First off, as the Bengals get ready to go at Philly on Thursday night at 7 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, Mo. Jamar Chase, I want to play a clip for everybody else. I'm sure you've heard this clip. They might not have heard it. So let's go through it together, shall we? Owen, hit it.
Honestly, I feel like he has it all. The timing, the accuracy, the placement, the speed, the awareness, field recognition. I mean, what else? He audibles in the backfield. Yeah, when you turn on jump tape, it's different from Josh Allen's tape. Completely different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So people game plan against Josh Allen, not against Joe Burrow. They play against his game weapons. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference.
Some people took umbrage with that. I think he kind of meant the people game plan for Jamar Chase and they game plan for Josh Allen. So who would you rather have, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen?
You know, I'll put it to you this way. If you and I had our pick of supermodels, right, and we were going to go out for a night, and you said to me, Mo, I get the first pick. I get supermodel one. I think I'd be pretty damn happy with supermodel two. I think Joe Burrow is the best in the NFL at handling the mechanics of playing quarterback. And I'm sure Jamar Chase would agree. Now, look, if you said to me, hey, look, we're taking Joe Burrow away and you have Josh Allen, that's totally fine. But I don't think there's anybody in the NFL who is better at the just the ins and outs and the mechanics of playing the position than Joe Burrow. That gets diluted by the fact that Joe didn't play in the playoffs last year. Josh Allen obviously did. But I think for me, just having watched every snap of Joe's career, I don't know that there's anybody in the NFL who just does the ins and outs of QB play better.
Well, Joe Burrow put up video game numbers last year, but I have finally heard after he was crowned with the amazing early career Super Bowl run, I'm finally hearing some critics of Joe Burrow, and part of me wonders if it's just more about the defense, but do you think any of it's fair? Are you hearing some of that? Are your fans at all criticizing a guy who threw for basically 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns last year?
I don't know how anybody could have watched Joe Burrow last year and walked away from it thinking that he was anywhere close to being on the list of reasons why this team missed the postseason last year. He was awesome. He wasn't perfect, and so I guess if you want to criticize him for not being perfect, you could do that. Look, this franchise was guilty of organizational malpractice last year. When you have a player who plays the most important position in all of sports play as well as he did, and that wasn't good enough to get him to the postseason, and frankly, look, they did win their last five games. They beat bad quarterbacks and had to win those last five games just to get to 9-8. Joe Burrow was unbelievably good last season. Every year he has played a full season, he's put up MVP caliber numbers. I don't know where the criticism comes from. I don't know how you could have watched the Bengals last year and arrived at the conclusion that the reason they were on the outside looking in once the playoffs began was quarterback play. But I think Joe would be the first to tell you that as long...
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
As long as your team isn't winning, that is the sort of thing that just comes with the territory when you play quarterback, right? We judge these guys by how much they win, which is why I think these next couple of seasons are enormous for this franchise and enormous for this quarterback. There's only a handful of QBs who have won their first Super Bowl after their eighth NFL season. Joe Burrow is going into year number six. They have given him the players on offense he has demanded they have. And maybe, I guess, that's where some criticism could come from, that maybe folks don't like the fact that he has been so vocal about, you know, what the Bengals need to do with their roster. But these next 3 years are enormous, and the longer we go with the Bengals missing the postseason or Joe Burrow not winning a Lombardi trophy, I guess the louder the criticism is going to be. But again, if you want to talk about last season, it boggles the mind how anybody could attribute quarterback play as the reason why the Bengals were on the outside looking in when the playoffs started last year.
17th overall pick, Shamar Stewart in camp, and apparently, Mo, turning heads. How good has it been for Shamar Stewart?
You know, he's changed the conversation very quickly because for months, you know, we didn't really talk about football with him. We didn't talk about the fact that he wasn't very productive from a pure sack standpoint at Texas A&M. We talked about his contract situation. We talked about the standoff between the Bengals and Shamar Stewart's agent. We talked about Shamar speaking, you know, at minicamp and kind of throwing the Bengals under the bus. And then, you know, third day into camp, he shows up. I think a lot of people were pretty surprised. And he instantly started making plays. Now, you take all of that with a grain of salt because they are, you know, training camp practices. Let's see if starting tomorrow night we start to see Shamar Stewart make plays. Until he starts to get after the quarterback in games consistently, folks are always going to wonder, you know, did the Bengals side a little bit too much with measurables and things like that, and did they not take into account the fact that the guy just wasn't all that productive at Texas A&M? But I give the dude credit, man. He has very quickly shifted the conversation from the contract and the back and forth between his agent and the Bengals to what he might do for this team. And let's face it, their pass rush was non-existent last year outside of Trey Hendrickson. They didn't draft Shamar Stewart to have a redshirt season. They drafted him to make an impact in year one, and the early signs in practice would suggest that he's going to be capable of doing that.
You going out of your way to watch Shedeur Sanders on Friday?
Sure. I don't know if I'm going out of my way, but yeah, there's curiosity. It's a big story, you know? And heck, Bengals and Browns play each other week number one, so I don't know that I'm going to revolve my entire Friday night around it, but as a football fan and as one who understands what some of the bigger stories in training camp are, I don't know how you're not at least a little bit curious to see how he does.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. We now welcome in Donnie Football Chedrick from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Will Howard out, what, 3-4 weeks with this broken thumb here, Donnie?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to miss the entire preseason, guys, which is obviously a little bit of a damper, I would say, on preseason excitement, because I would say outside of Caleb Johnson, that Will Howard was atop the list of, you know, new guys you're most excited to watch.
That sucks.
Were the numbers fictitious? We see a lot of training camp numbers get thrown around, and I'm like, man, these are just Twitter accounts. I have no idea if there's any validity, but was it really looking that good?
For Will Howard?
Yes.
I mean, so I had – it seems like from what we've heard over the last – couple of weeks, like he's doing fine. He's not like popping off the page, which I find a bit more realistic. I'm not buying into like, oh man, the guy was perfect today and he looked like he would be the Steelers next franchise guy in 7-on-7. From what I gathered, he's looked fine, and it's really just kind of been hanging out in the middle.
So he's fine to make the team no matter.
I don't think that's going to be any sort of issue. And I also wouldn't think the Steelers would kind of, you know, put him out there to be, you know, get picked up by somebody else.
Looking at some of the Steelers media over the last couple of days, Juan Thornhill, former Cleveland Brown, certainly made more plays on social media than he ever did on the field for the Browns. Is he in danger of being on the bubble or certainly not starting, being a backup in that secondary?
I feel like he is in line to start, at least as of now. I know that Mike Tomlin loves to use that pole position phrase all the time, but it seems like he has had a better camp than people expected, and people love like the fire that he brings to his game too.
Broderick Jones was a first-round pick. Is he struggling? How bad is he struggling?
Yeah, the reports on him aren't very good. There was a day last week where I was able to even go to practice, and some people described his early blocking methods as a guy giving like the Olay to a bull. Mm. So not really great as of right now. But I'm hoping and praying that changes once they get into real game action. But who knows?
I do wonder, with the video that I'm seeing from Aaron Rodgers, it looks like his mobility needs a little bit of work. I know it's early in the season. Is that a concern for you?
The mobility with him has always been part of the concern. I mean, so many people wanted to just drink the typical punch, like once the signing actually happened and thought like they were getting the Aaron Rodgers that we saw in 2010, hell, even 2020 when the guy was winning the MVP of the league. I just don't think we are getting that same guy. It seems like the pop in the arm is still there, but I know the video you're talking about, and it looked like he was walking through cement.
Jacksonville, 7 p.m. Saturday night for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That means Friday night's open. Are you going out of your way to watch Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns take on the Carolina Panthers?
I would like to see Sanders. I mean, now, is he going to play presumably the whole first half or just the first quarter? I mean, how do you think that'll break down?
I think he'll probably end up playing the whole first half. What do you think, Tone?
Yeah.
Nothing's official
yet.
We'll find out more from Kevin Stefanski at 9:30 on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. I think about the first half, Donnie.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see, you know, at least a couple of drives. Maybe I'm not going to make my fiance sit through the entire first half of a Browns preseason game.
Come on, why not? Night, but... Let her know what she's got in line for the rest of her life. You're Donnie football. You're not Donnie, let's go watch Netflix and hang out. That those times are done now.
She's already aware how much football is going to take over life here in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I mean, I would like to see him in a few drives.
Name's Donnie Football, not Donnie This Is Us. Donnie, thank you for the time. Donnie Football, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. One third of the great triumvirate, that is the PM team, on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And I call them great because I have to call them great because they rip us off on everything they do. So I have to say that they're great. That's the conundrum. I can't rip their show other than that they rip us off, because if I rip their show, then I'm just ripping us. Am I right, Tone?
It's a sad state of affairs, okay. Kenny.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.